Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, it was emotional for me because of how it ended last year. And I'll leave that there. And I was emotional at the beginning of the game because I didn't want what happened last year to happen this year. So I was handling things in real time, not afterwards.
I did want to see them in the national championship this year because what happened last year, it was an apology to my teammates, my coaches, and myself. And I just feel like I said, revenge. It was a revenge tour, and it's no better way to play them in the championship and beat them.
When Dawn Staley shouted out Caitlin Clark and thanked her for all she's done for the women's game, first thing came to my mind was game recognized game, and yes. It takes one GOAT to know one. It takes a GOAT to know one. It takes one to know one. Listen, on this Eclipse Day, we got to start with as bright a star as there is in the coaching profession and in women's basketball and sports period right now, in Dawn Staley. And much like the sun, she just continues to give everybody in her orbit life. Can't say enough about this woman, Dawn Staley. I could listen to her speak all day long. Ooh. In fact, I missed church yesterday, but that's okay, because Dawn took us all to church. Bedside Baptist at Dawn Staley.
Bedside Baptist.
You want to talk about elevation? How about Dawn Staley? Okay. Yeah. I mean, I cannot say enough about this woman and what she is doing. It does her a disservice to limit her impact to women's basketball, man. Anybody that's listening to her, anybody that knows her story and follows her and really like locks in and hears her message, can't help but be touched. Can't help but be touched.
Yeah, I mean,
inspired.
It's not just Coach Staley, right? It's Reverend Dr. Dawn Staley. I mean, really, she was bringing it.
I would join her church. I would if she had done an altar call and asked, "Is there one?" I would have joined her church immediately. I would have joined her church.
Every head bowed
never fails. Yeah,
every head bowed, every eye closed. Every eye closed. Don't look who's walking down the aisle. This is between you and the Lord.
And listen, all levity and humor aside, I mean, like, you don't even have to. Sorry, I'm gonna let you go. You don't have to be a Christian. You don't have to be spiritual or religious to be inspired by what she has to say. Like I'm sure there are some people who don't like their food touching, some people who don't like politics and sports or religion and sports intersecting. Some people, I guarantee you, were turned off by how often Dawn professes and claims her faith and uses her platform to openly praise God. And I'm not judging the people who are, but I'm saying that, like, there is something universal, whether you just want to believe in the universe or not, universal about suffering the type of disappointment that she did and her team did and her program did last year, and then coming back the following year and doing it with this team the way that they did it. There's something universal in every walk of life that you should be able to take from that. Because you know why? You know, I come back to this theme all the time, bro. Like, who you root for? I root for stories. I root for stories because I like to find life lessons in my sports. And what better teacher is there than Dawn Staley? Matter of fact, I hope she stays at the collegiate level, stay in school forever, because she's nothing but class. all the time.
Woo!
You got it.
Ooh. Bars, bars, bars. Bars, bars from you, bars from Staley. And you know what? Shout out before we get started talking about Dawn Staley, because just the platform that she had. Shout out to Holly Rowe. Shout out to Holly
she
Rowe.
She was so clever. Did you? Embracing
it? I thought you were going to say.
I was like, yeah, Holly, I see you. I see you. I thought you were going to say when he closed the door, he opens the window because your team cleaned up on the glass. I'm like, that there is why she's Holly Rowe.
Holly Rowe.
I'm glad you cleaned up on that. Yeah.
That's somebody who's been to church. That's somebody who's been to church, boy.
Again, if you ain't been to church, you've been around Dawn Staley long enough to have been converted. If you covered Dawn Staley long enough, you're going to be like, who is this God you speak of?
But she had that great line. But she also, and I always say this, like,
she gave her the space.
Give me 30 seconds to put the professor hat on. I always say,
go for it.
The people,
take your time.
It's an emotion. Now, when somebody is laughing, and you interview them, hey, you're enjoying the laughter. It's an emotion. They're laughing. It tells you about their mood. It tells you that something, they have a lightness about them. If somebody is crying, some interviewers get intimidated by the tears. They get tense around the tears and they want to move on and they don't let them it's an emotion that's valid. Let that be part of the story too. And Holly Rowe did a great job saying, hey, you're crying. And she asked, okay, what is this? But
that's
tell
all
me
you
what
ask.
You're feeling.
That's all
that's
you
right.
got to
ask. What is this?
Open-ended.
And she waited.
Why are you emotional? That's the thing.
Waited.
Okay, if you want to put the professor hat on and you want to teach journalism 101 for a second.
Love it.
The silence. Never fill the silence. The
Don't
best
be afraid
interviewers
of it.
Will let somebody sit there and think and will not jump in to try to like answer for them. That silence is very powerful. But like you said, that emotion was very powerful.
The emotion was there. And but Dawn Staley said so many great things yesterday. And it's not a surprise, because if you really think back and I was thinking about this earlier this morning. If I think about how many times Dawn Staley has been in the public conversation, has been in the sports conversation, she's been around for a long time doing great things. So let's go back to her college days, where she was a great athlete. She was a great athlete. She used to get name checked by the Roots, got her Philly ties. She was on Martin after she was in the Olympics, along with Rebecca Lobo. So she's been a part of the culture for a long time, WNBA player, and obviously a coach with impact. It's not her first rodeo. This is not her first national championship. So she has always had good things to say, not just about she's always had good things to say, not just about the game, but about the culture. Not just about the culture, but about women.
Society.
And women in sports, women in society. What she said yesterday about the broadcast crew and how
she's
it was intentional and it's powerful. I mean, really on there. But to take it back to inspiration, look, a lot of people say this, but I'm glad she did, because she's been around a lot of people from a lot of different faith traditions. She said, the God I serve, it may not be the God you serve. You may not serve a God at all. But the God I serve will break your heart. Will break your heart sometimes before you get to that moment where you can celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond your expectation. Look. The Apostle Paul says something like that like generations ago. But Dawn Staley said it better. She said it better yesterday, and it's more relatable. I'm just so glad. I'm glad for her, and I'm glad for the people she inspired. Because she inspired a lot of people yesterday, whether they're South Carolina fans or not.
I'm laughing because church folk always say the Apostle Paul. It ain't just like Paul. Like the Apostle
ain't
Paul.
Ain't not like Paul. You know Paul. You know Paul from around the corner.
The Apostle Paul says.
The one who used to be Saul. You know him.
She had another remark I saw online, where she talked about, you know, praising God for the defeats as well as the victories. And, you know, I I said this to, I told you a couple of episodes ago, we talked about, you know, my daughter's collegiate process or application and selection process and whatnot. And I'm sure you've heard this phrase that, that God answers prayers in three ways, you know, yes, not yet, or no, because I got something better. And like, you know, the weeping that Dawn endured for many nights between last year's loss to Iowa and this year, like, who knows how dark those nights were for her. But like, so the joy that she was feeling yesterday, it was palpable from the TV screen. And I mean, how could she have ever imagined, because it's certainly, it's got to be unprecedented. I mean, maybe not. I mean, but, you know, I'm not enough of an encyclopedia to know. But to lose all five starters to the WNBA draft and then to come back and your leading scorer by the time it was all said and done is a freshman.
Yeah.
You can't write that story. You can't,
and to be undefeated. To be undefeated.
And to be the 10th undefeated national champion in women's college basketball history. And you talked about how she's always been a part of the culture. Now she's part of the pantheon, having won three titles. And again, more to come. But like the whole scene, to have Aaliyah Boston, who, by the way, has got some serious potential in this here business, okay?
Take
your time.
She was great. She was great yesterday.
Aaliyah Boston was a mess after the game, knowing what the, like, when she came down for the celebration, she was a mess. It's like, it was hard not to to be, again, like, we don't have skin in this game where we're rooting for a certain jersey or a certain outcome. I mean, like, I don't bet. You know what I mean? Like, I just, this was about rooting for good people. Good things happen.
That's too bad. That's too bad.
Good things happen to good
people. You don't know what you're missing.
You know?
You don't know what you're missing.
And then watching those good people, whether it's, you know, Dawn Staley or, you know, a couple of days ago, Paige Beckers, watching those good people use that platform to inspire. And not only inspire, but to give flowers. Like, again, going back to, like, she didn't have to say what she said the way she said it when she said it about Caitlin Clark. She didn't have to do that, you know? Yeah,
but that's
but she
saw it as what I'm saying.
That's who she
is. That's who she is.
She saw it as this opportunity.
And
yes.
If you listen to her.
And she saw it as an opportunity to frame the conversation, because I'm sure she hears some of the negativity around Caitlin Clark, but yet, hey, let me go ahead and lead on this as well. Let me lead on this and show you how it's done. We've juxtaposed her. I mean, it wasn't that long ago. We were juxtaposing her response to the, you know, the tussle, whatever you want to call it, with LSU.
Yeah,
Kim Mulkey. Yeah. It's like she's always, like she's, not only is she all class all the time, she's always teaching with her words and with her actions. She's teaching people. She don't even coach. Damn it, I wish I could play for her. Sorry, you're about to say something. Go ahead.
No, it's like when you listen to her talk, when you listen to Dawn Staley talk, you don't hear somebody who is reciting something that has been out there in the air. You know, all the talking points. It doesn't sound like just your typical coach or your typical leader who has read some manual on how to inspire young people, how to get people to listen to you, how to hold a crowd.
Authenticity.
She is just telling you, based on her experience, based on her confidence, based on her position in the college game. Because let me tell you, South Carolina, I don't know, talking to you, provost, talking to you, president, whatever they call it down there. I don't know what her status is. Whatever her contract is, you got to do it better. You got to do it better. You just got to, you know, you should make some amendments to that. I don't care if she just signed one a year ago, 2 years ago. You got to do it better, because it is so, she is such a great representative for the basketball program, for the athletic department, for the university as a whole, and for the region, for the Carolinas. I'm telling you, she's that important to that part of the country and to that program. So I just love her. You're right. I can listen to her all day. I love listening to her. And I'm glad she said that about Caitlin Clark, because she understands. She understands some of the conversations, and she understands that, you mentioned the negativity. I mean, negativity will always exist around greatness.
Absolutely.
Even if it's 3% of the population or 5%, there's always going to be somebody. And since we're in church,
yeah. Jesus walked on water and it said he couldn't swim. Don't matter how many three-pointers you make, you know?
Right. So. And listen. And sometimes the dumbest voices are the loudest ones.
And get the
most
attention.
And they get the attention. So I'm glad that she's certainly not in that category of a thoughtless voice. She is not a thoughtless voice. She's not an unimportant voice. So I'm glad she took the platform to say, it was on like the pulpit. She was up there. And she said, hey, you know, Holly, give me the mic. I got one more thing to say. Let me say this about Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark, if you're out there, thank you. Thank you for what you've done for the game, because Caitlin Clark has done amazing things for women's basketball. She lost two championships, sure. So she's not a champion, but she has elevated the sport to a place that, frankly, I've never seen. And I'm comfortable saying this. I've never seen a baller like Caitlin Clark in the women's game. I've never seen anybody play like her before. I saw Cheryl Miller. I saw Cynthia Cooper, Candace Parker, all these great players in college and in the pros. I just haven't seen anybody like Caitlin Clark. So, yeah, it's, and you think about it, it's the eye test, but it's also the records. You know, it's funny where she had the stat, you've probably seen it, us first to score over, 3,000 points and 1,000 assists and all this stuff. And, she only had 990 rebounds. She almost had 1,000. She almost had 1,000 across the board. Oh, like 3,000 plus points, 1,000 plus assists, and almost 1,000 rebounds. Averaging 28 a game for her career. Are you kidding? I just never seen a package like this. So I'm glad that we saw this. I'm glad we've been able to witness this the last couple of years, even though Iowa and the pride of West Des Moines doesn't come away with the championship. We're all better off for seeing this young woman do her thing.
Let's hear from Caitlin Clark some remarks that she said she had on Saturday. I want to come back to South Carolina, but we'll first hear from Caitlin Clark and then get back to this theme of her resume and the absence of a championship and what, if anything, that means. But here's Caitlin.
Women's basketball isn't just suddenly good. Like, it's been good. I'm lucky enough to be surrounded by coaches that have been in this game for a really long time. They coached when, 50 people showed up to the game and nobody wanted to support them and what they were doing. And, Coach Jay is our associate head coach, who is one of the best women's basketball players our state has ever seen. And for them to be at the forefront of, laying a foundation of this is what women's basketball is, and still nobody wanted to support it, for them to now see where it's evolved, is pretty incredible. They deserve it more than anybody else for them to be in these moments too. But, it isn't just the people that are in the college game right now. It's every single person has come before us. And now you're seeing, we are on ESPN. We are on nationally televised TV stations that people are like, wow, this is so much fun to watch. They can't get enough of it. It's like, it is scheduled in their night. They're sitting down and watching. And I don't think it's only women's basketball. I think it's, you see it across the board, whether it's softball, whether it's gymnastics, volleyball, people want to watch. It's just, when they're given the opportunity, it's, the research and the facts show that it's people love it.
They're doing football numbers. They're doing football numbers. And one, that's not an exaggeration, very few events, sporting events, and sports, live sports is king right now, are outrating women's college basketball right now. And it's not just Caitlin Clark. She's obviously leading this unprecedented growth. But one thing that Dawn Staley has given voice to, and that it came up this weekend, is these units. Like, so 14.2, and any minute now, we may get word that yesterday, you know, eclipsed 15, or who knows how many people watched the championship game. But right now, 14.2 Iowa-UConn, 14.2 million viewers, peaking at 17 million viewers, is the record as we speak, right?
Right.
But the women are getting what's called the units, which is the money for tournament appearances and for advancing in the tournament the way that men are. That clearly has to change and change immediately. It should have changed yesterday, like yesterday, but that has to change immediately as record after record falls. I mean, you know, we said that, you know, at the start of this, we said that last year's 9.9 in the championship game was going to fall. Then LSU-Iowa happened. And that record was temporary. And then Iowa-UConn happened, and that record is now also temporary because another one is coming very soon. So the units need to change immediately. That practice of not paying women for tournament appearances versus paying men for tournament appearances.
Mike, some of the stuff you're talking about with units and the numbers, it's just really hard to put this into perspective for people who are not in the business like us. So we're in the business and we understand all this stuff. Can you imagine you're somebody at home and you need to understand that Iowa-UConn did similar numbers to Cavaliers-Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals in 2018. It's done similar numbers to like Warriors games, like NBA Finals games. As a matter of fact, I know there were some extenuating circumstances here in 2020, the bubble finals. So
sure,
outrated those finals, and then outrated the finals of the very next year, Phoenix and Milwaukee. I think those numbers were like 10 or 11 million. So these numbers are higher than some appearances in the recent NBA finals.
But I wouldn't even stick to this sport. I would say like the bar is the NFL. And I love this context. This hit close to home, obviously. And again, you know, Amazon Prime Video is streaming, but I'm not qualifying anything. It's the NFL. And the NFL, we talk about all the time, like the most watched programs, the vast majority of the most watched programs are NFL games. These games are outrating Thursday Night Football, okay? Like, so, like I said, they put up football numbers. Like, more people are watching. Like, it's undeniable. It's undeniable at this point. The point I wanted to make, though, to your point about Caitlin Clark and her brilliance, well, one, and Dawn talked about what Caitlin Clark is going to do for the WNBA. I have no doubt that that these new or more committed eyeballs will follow her to the WNBA, which is great because everybody eats. I have no doubt that she'll be great alongside Aliyah Boston in Indiana in the WNBA. Because to your point about having never seen a player quite like her, it ain't like she just threes or she's just a shooter. Right. It's like, even if she ain't able to shoot these logo threes against these grown women with families to feed, even if she doesn't come in and she's not the same transcendent figure on the professional level that she is or has been at the collegiate level, she still could pass. Like, I mean, she'll still be one of the best facilitators in the NBA. Maybe she don't average 30 a game. Maybe she only averages 20. She'll still probably be among the league leaders in assists, I would venture to guess. Like, she's such a complete player. I have no doubt that she succeeds at the next level.
How about that one dime yesterday?
Which one?
How about the one dime yesterday when she comes down? Now, this is the one where it seemed like, you know, because you can see South Carolina – like, Iowa got off to a great start. Caitlin Clark on fire in the first quarter. Like, oh, this is going to be a problem. She might put up 50 tonight. They ain't got no answers for her. And then they cooled her off pretty quickly. But this is third quarter. South Carolina starting to take control of the game. And Caitlin is in the right corner. And I can't remember who it was streaking down the court. And she just kind of gave her the flick.
Oh, yeah,
on the way
to
the basket.
Yeah,
but I mean, like just to see that, just to make the, to see the play developing,
to make the proper pass, to give
the ball in position where the player just all you got to do is catch and shoot. I mean, she's just got a feel for the game. It's unbelievable.
She's insane.
Here's a thought I had though. Here's a thought, and maybe because we're you and I. We got a problem, Mike. We just love the draft too much. We love dealing. I can't believe you don't gamble as much as you love the draft and trades and all this stuff. Like, gambling is a natural for you. Come to this side with. Come join us, please.
I have an addictive personality. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Oh. All right. Well. Yeah. So do I. All right. You need to just come on board. But I had this thought about the WNBA draft when Coach Staley, Reverend Staley, said. She's going to be the number one pick in the WNBA draft. She is going to be the number one pick. She doesn't necessarily have to be the number one pick of the Indiana Fever. I'm sorry. Los Angeles picking second. Chicago picking third. The number two and number three markets in the country. You got Caitlin Clark. Look, you better do that. Hey, and what's it going to take? What will it take?
Yeah.
To get that number one pick from a sister.
Sure.
What will it take to do
that? Sure. You can try. You can try.
It's a week from today. Nonstop. Hey, what you need? What you need?
After you, I got it here. After you somehow managed to pry CJ Stroud off my roster. It's worth a try.
Keep going.
We'll get to the Texans
all you
maybe
do is ask.
Later in the show. Persistence.
All you got to do is ask.
How far it could get you. But maybe there's a WNBA title wherever she plays. It'll be Indiana. Wherever she plays, maybe there's a WNBA title in her future. But the idea of – and I love that we can have this conversation. I think we can have it thoughtfully from a nuanced place. It's like – oh, hopefully. You know me. I have never been a rings person in team sports for individuals. Is it a piece of your resume? Is it a part of the conversation? Sure. Can it be a tiebreaker? Yeah, in a lot of instances. But like, you're not going to tell me that somehow Caitlin Clark is less than or not worthy of being on the same level as some other GOATs because her team did not beat superior teams in the last two national title games, okay? Because not only did Raven Johnson do a fantastic job, talk about redemption, a fantastic job of guarding
defending
Caitlin
her.
Clark,
yeah.
But they also, South Carolina also said, A, you ain't gonna do this the whole game, and B, even if you do, we ain't letting the rest of y'all get off. You're gonna have to beat all nine of us by yourself. Okay, and because she failed, quote unquote, to do that, doesn't mean she is a failure when it comes to, you know, the conversation around whether or not she can stand shoulder to shoulder with some of the greats, many of the greats who preceded her. She didn't have the team to do it. And I don't think you can at the same time, I really don't believe this is possible. We cannot praise Dawn Staley and South Carolina for the masterful and brilliant coaching job that she did, taking an entire new starting five or taking a team with plenty of people who should get starters minutes and molding them into the unselfish machine that she did. We cannot praise them for being undefeated. So you mean to tell me like Caitlin Clark's missing something from her resume because last year she couldn't beat LSU and one of the greatest coaches of all time and as well as Angel Reese and the rest of her supporting cast. And this year she couldn't be the first team to beat a team that's lost three games in three, first person, excuse me, to beat a team that's lost three games in 3 years. So somehow that's a blemish on her resume because Iowa couldn't beat South Carolina. Like you can't have both. You can't say that she's somehow, you know, well, you know, she's not as great as some others because she didn't win a championship because she didn't beat South Carolina. She was born at the wrong time, perhaps. She came along for such a time as this, but when it comes to the championship conversation, maybe she's born at the wrong time because this is South Carolina's era. South Carolina, this is year three in the beginning of a 10-year run, Benny the Butcher. Like South Carolina about to get they're in a UConn era right now. Okay, right. Just getting back to them for a second. Yeah. They're in their UConn era. Like, yeah. This feels like she's just, Dawn is just getting started. Between Johnson, Fulwiley, and whoever else she's bringing into South Carolina, or whoever else remaining with Cardoza going to the WNBA, like, she's not done winning championships. She is going to deny plenty of people. Plenty of people. The way UConn did, the way Tennessee did, the way Jordan did, the way LeBron has. Like the way Tiger did, they're going to be plenty of people with runner-up finishes thanks to Dawn Staley in South Carolina, because that's what dynasties do. Dynasties deny you your dreams.
That's right.
Tom Brady, go down the list. Go down the list. Patrick Mahomes, go down the list. Like, there are winners, but the other people don't have to be losers because you came up short against Dawn Staley and this machine that is South Carolina. I reject that. I refuse to entertain the notion that something is missing from Caitlin Clark's resume because she couldn't beat LSU in South Carolina in the national championship game, because this is a team sport first and foremost, as they all are. I hate assigning rings to individuals and saying that there's somehow, you know, something missing within them or they don't have what it takes because they ran up against the inevitable.
Yeah. One of my, it's funny you say, you know, they deny your dreams. One of my callers on my sports talk radio days used to call up and he'd call Brady and Belichick. He said, you know what they are? They're legacy blockers. So that's why so many people hate them. They're legacy blockers. You know, whether it's Peyton Manning or anybody else, they deny you from where you're trying to go because they just sit there. And they just won't get out of the way. You know, Jordan was the same way. Like a lot of great athletes and great coaches are like that. And just they're immovable. And so, yeah, you get something. You're able to every now and then get around them. But ultimately, you don't get as much as you think you should have had because of their presence. So that's one. The other thing is, I don't know if you remember, we had Dawn Staley on Brother from Another. This is back in the day. This is in the early days. It was like year one, year two, we had her on. And I remember talking to her about coaching. And she said, you know, it's almost like people look at us and look at South Carolina and they just think, hey, I just recruit them here and we win. And I just kind of sit there. It's like, I'm coach, you know, really don't get credit for being the coach that I am. And so she is a fantastic coach and a fantastic recruiter. You can do both. Mm-hmm. I think she has done that. But you said she's going to block other people. I'll tell you who else is going to block other people. Caitlin Clark. So if she doesn't have greatness in college, there are a lot of people who didn't win national championships in college.
Correct.
Or didn't go to college for the opportunity to win a national championship, LeBron. But if you win it in the pros, do we take away what we said about her in college? So if you don't she's not clutch, she's not a GOAT, whatever. So what if she goes to the WNBA and wins three straight? What if she wins like 4 out of 6? Okay, like, so yeah. her story is not written. It's not complete.
Shoot.
It's not complete.
On a more on a more trivial note, I mean, hell, alongside Sabrina, you know, she made him a 3-point contest in her future against Steph and Clay at the All-Star game. I mean, like, what she's going to continue to do for you know, the game, the women's game, the game of basketball. Again, I stress this and I referenced this last week. It's like true evolution is just looking at this as just basketball. I mean, if you're a fan of basketball, like, yes, it's gender specific, but you don't have to like view it through a prism of like it's somehow a different sport. Like, we could enjoy the women's game as basketball. So she's got all her fans are not women. You know what I mean? Like there are plenty of people that she is bringing to the table and she's expanding the tent of basketball. So what she's going to do at the professional level, what she's going to do, you know, for basketball culture in general, she's just getting started as well.
What you doing in LA?
In good hands.
What you doing, LA? What you doing, Chicago?
Is continue to be in good hands with Juju and others.
Get on that phone.
Others to follow. But it feels like what Dawn has at South Carolina just isn't going to stop anytime soon. One quick note, though. I mean, it feels like it happened a lifetime ago. We watched it as a family. Me, Sarah, and the kids all watched the game yesterday. We were all into it. Savannah was openly rooting against Caitlin Clark. in Iowa. She did not want to see them win. And you know why she didn't want to see them win? She did not want to see Iowa win because she was still furious from the call Friday night. Aaliyah Edwards and the moving screen. I tried to explain to her. I'm like, sweetheart, listen. Was it an unfortunate call? Yes, it was an unfortunate call. But is this some sort of grand conspiracy? Even though, look, everybody eats and everybody benefits the longer Caitlin Clark is in the tournament, okay? That pie gets that much bigger that women don't get enough of a slice of. But I'm like, there's no grand conspiracy. I'm like, the official, I was like, it's more likely, this is what I told her. I said, Savannah, I was like, it's more likely that the officials had, speaking of betting, had money on the game, on some Tim Donaghy shit. They had money on the game than it is that there was some directive from on high to call a moving screen at that moment in order to get Iowa into the championship game instead of UConn.
You know what?
It was the right call. It was an unfortunate call. I hated that it had to be made, but Aaliyah Edwards was wide. She lifted her elbow. It was a moving screen. Do moving screens happen all the time? Yes, they do, Gino. You're right about that. But it was the right call. It sucked, but it was the right call.
There's so much about this.
I would have loved to have seen UConn in South Carolina.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
I would have loved to have seen Paige, you know, but, you know, it was the right call.
There's just so much about this that I can't stand. I mean, so many elements of it. And I knew it. I could predict it. As a matter of fact, I did. I wrote down three things that were going to be said post-game, and all three of them were said. I said, oh, here we go. And just like for all the people tweeting, oh, how do you do that? And saying, how do you call that in that situation? So let me just get this right. You like fouls being called, but you don't think fouls should be called in the last minute or last 30 seconds or last 10 seconds. You think there should be a safe zone where everybody can just be anarchy and chaos. You can beat the hell out of somebody for 5 seconds at the end of the game when it's close. It's tied or when the team that is trailing has an opportunity to score. Like, what are the terms for this? So these people are like, well, don't call it in that situation. Of course you call it in that situation if it's legitimate. That's one. Two, I knew it wasn't going to come up. I wrote it down. Paige Beckers kind of alluded to it but didn't mention it directly. Gino had nothing to say about it. How about the 12-point lead UConn had?
Yeah.
Was that a conspiracy too? Was that a conspiracy? UConn had control of the game, and Iowa came and took it from them. Iowa took it from you. You didn't give it to them. They took it from you. And by the way, they were trailing. They were trailing by two, which is why the offensive foul happened, because they were frantic. They were frantically trying to get Paige Beckers the ball, And they were going to do everything they could, which I understand, your best player, give her a shot at it. Everything they could, including clubbing somebody. As you're trying to set the
screen. I would say it was a club.
It was a good call. I had no problem.
It was a legit call.
I kept watching and it was like, so people were upset that we didn't have an opportunity for like some dramatic shot. We didn't have like, hey, Becker's right. for three for the win. Oh, wow. UConn wins by one.
They're down 2-1. I thought they were down one. But yeah, I got.
That's right. They were.
Either way.
We were robbed of this moment.
Yeah.
Can I tell you what this is about? I have to say it.
It was about
what? The state that you live in.
What is it about?
Okay. They're just spoiled and entitled. UConn has, you talked about all these undefeated national champions. You know how many times UConn has had an undefeated NCAA champion? You want to guess? A half dozen.
More than once, right? I'm about to
They've
say,
had
yeah.
six.
It feels like it was every year
They've
down
had
there.
Six. They've had six of them. They're spoiled. Yeah. They still think things should happen for them. And so they are used to, Geno's the worst, and he's the best and he's the worst. He's great for college basketball too. A great champion, has done a wonderful job with that program, but he's the worst. He's a sore loser. And that's what happened. It really was UConn being, and they got further than they really should have gone. I didn't think, this is not one of their best teams. Paige Beckers is great. This is not the best UConn team, but not even close. One of the best UConn teams I've seen. I'm surprised they made it to the Final Four. I thought they would lose to USC, and they had a great win there. But come on, you lost to a better team. You lost to a better team, and the right call was made.
The only thing I would say, it was the right call. The only thing I would add, that doesn't mean I enjoyed it. Like if the call hadn't been made, I'd have been fine with that too. Maybe I'd have looked at the replay and be like, "Ooh, got away with one there." Like so. It wasn't so egregious where they had no choice but to call, like, but it was the right call, you know. So I'll leave that one there. But UConn, there's still hope. the women are the only ones that have won, as they know in stores. The fellas, though, have a tough act to follow. They got a tough act to follow, and I'm sure we'll get into it more on Wednesday. God willing, the creek don't rise. Once we see whether UConn is the first team to go back-to-back since Florida or whether Purdue finally wins its first national championship. You know how I feel about Quentin Tarantino movies. Pulp Fiction is my favorite movie of all time. But I've been watching a lot of Hateful Eight lately. but Kill Bill, Volumes 1 and 2, classics, absolute classics. You remember the scene in Volume 2? Furious. Call that the silent treatment. Let them think we don't like it. You remember the scene where L is bringing over the money for the Hattori Hanzo sword to Bud's trailer? And this is after he's buried Beatrix, you know, giving her the Texas funeral. And then he says, "So which R are you filled with?" You know, it's like you're filled with R, you're filled with regret or relief that your rival, Beatrix, is what they thought was dead. Regret or relief, which R are you filled with? So I'll ask you, which R are you taking tonight? You taking the repeat from seemingly inevitable UConn, or are you taking redemption after losing to a 16 seed last year, Purdue, winning his first championship? You taking Zach Edey or Donovan Clayton?
You know, this has been... and tonight we'll wrap it up this tournament season. This has been so entertaining. I love all the stories from the men's tournament and the women's tournament. A lot of great moments, but this may be the first time that I have predicted both champions, because it's probably the chalkiest, even though it's a great tournament, it's probably the chalkiest tournament I've seen. I didn't pick UConn over Purdue. I don't know who I had in the national championship game. It was not Purdue, but I had UConn.
But you definitely had UConn. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, UConn. So I'm going with repeat. UConn will win it. I had South Carolina over Iowa in the women's tournament. That's exactly what happened. So I don't think there's really any surprise. Purdue, I'll admit, Purdue, if you're not Michigan State, this is like the last 15 years, if you're not Michigan State, I generally just kind of downgrade Big Ten basketball teams. And it's just like a bias I have, Big Ten basketball. I have a bias the other way for Big Ten football teams. Basketball teams have just disappointed in so many areas. So I've seen, you know, Michigan State's been the champion, but I've seen Purdue. I've seen this story before. Like, here we go. So I picked Purdue to lose in the second round. Not because I don't think Edie is great. He is. I'm like, they're going to do something. They just always do something to screw it up. They have changed my perspective. They have my respect, and they didn't have it at the beginning of the tournament. I'll be honest with you. I didn't really think they had what it took to win several games in the tournament. But that being said,
I bet your money. Let's just focus. We both agree. Like, UConn feels inevitable. They're just so dominant.
It's going to be a great game, though. High scoring game. Great one.
Okay, so that's what. I was going to ask you this because really, when it's UConn, it's not whether you'll beat them, but whether you'll keep it close. You know, like they only beat Bama by 14. I think their last 11 tournament games they won by an average of 22.3 points. Does UConn cover? I think you showed they're seven point favorites. That's the real question. Not whether UConn wins. Sorry, Purdue, but by how much? Do Dan Hurley and UConn win and repeat as national champions? By how much?
I don't think they cover.
Double digits?
I don't think they cover. I don't think it's a double-digit win. I think they win the game.
Okay, so you got a classic. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be a great game, but I think UConn is – they've just got too much. There's some point in the game where they're just going to take it over. But I can see, man,
I think Klingon is going to take UConn Edie's lunch money. I think he takes Edie's lunch money tonight. I mean, stylistically.
Ooh, so you're not a fan?
I'm not saying I'm not a fan, but I prefer Klingon. Like, this is a lot, like, and I'm not saying they're the same player. But this is such an old school throwback big man matchup. Again, just reiterate, yep. I'm not saying they're the same players, okay? But this is Olajuwon versus Shaq. Love Shaq. He ain't had nothing for Olajuwon. you know what I'm saying? Orlando Shaq had nothing for Hakeem Olajuwon, great as Orlando Shaq was. Likewise, I don't think Edie got anything for Klingon. Nothing for that kid.
But think about this. We used to have these. Like, when's the last time you saw? We're usually talking about
two bigs like this?
Dynamic guard, some like swing man, or like some perimeter player, but a big man matchup? That's like a heavyweight fight. Like, that's something from a different, that's a different time altogether. Right. What? A heavyweight fight with two legit good heavyweights?
Right.
Oh, a 15 round heavyweight fight to really take it back to the old school. So I think it is going to be one of those. Olajuwon, Ewing, Elijah that in college, you know, that kind of thing. One of those.
Yeah.
One of those matchups. I think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be close. I don't think it's good. There will be no lunch money taken. I disagree with you. There will be no lunch money taken tonight.
But you are putting your money. I was about to say, you are putting your money on Purdue. I guess a 7-point spread. Okay. I like it. You're taking Purdue there.
Feels like a 95 to 90 kind of game.
95 to 90? 95. Maybe overtime. They're definitely going overtime. 95 to 90.
I feel like I've seen this game before. So I'm very confident.
95 to 90.
Put a little something on it. I may put a little something on it tonight.
Last thing on college basketball. John Calipari. Why the laughter? Why the laughter?
No, it's just funny.
Listen, man,
this is funny.
All I know is, like, professionally speaking, and it hasn't always worked out this way for me. Because, you know, I'm fond of saying that in relationships, I've never been broken up with. Nor have I ever broken up with anybody, quite honestly.
No, that is true.
Professionally speaking, I can't say the same, unfortunately. But the goal is always to quit before they fire you. So shout out to John Calipari.
That's why I'm laughing.
That's what don't play the player, hate the game. And my man said, you know what? Y'all not satisfied about one title in 3 Final Fours, and y'all think I choke in the tournament all the time, which is true. That's, damn it, Arkansas would love to have me, okay? And y'all can see if the blue grass is greener on the other side in Kentucky.
That's why I laugh, right? That's why I laugh. Look, I've known Calipari for a long time. Back in the day, started at the University of Massachusetts, and I've had many opportunities to interview him and cover those games back when UMass was relevant. They are no longer, not in a championship contender sense, but he did. He is a great recruiter. He is a great program builder. I mean, you think about his stops, UMass to Memphis, and Derrick Rose, Memphis to Kentucky, Kentucky now to Arkansas. And I laugh, we were talking about My Best, Your Money. Classic song. Shout out Kenny Rogers. You got to know when to hold them, know when to fold them, know when to walk away, know when to run. Okay, he's running. He's running away from Kentucky because they want to fire him. They want to. It's like, okay, if the only reason, and then I really feel this way. If the only reason I'm here is because you say, well, damn, you know, your contract makes it really tough for us to move on from you. Okay. All right.
What I say? I see. That ain't the richest state in the union, and eating that buyout will be a tough sell. No matter how much basketball is king there. So you're doing him a solid on the way out.
I see what's happening
here. Honestly.
Yeah. I see what's happening here. You really want me gone, but my contract makes it difficult for you. So anytime, sometimes you win a championship and they say, he won't have to buy another meal in a local establishment again. I'm not going to a local establishment. I ain't taking a drink from nobody. I don't trust anybody because you want me gone. And so Arkansas, a great opportunity for him. He did a great job of recruiting at Kentucky. He did not do a great job of winning. You just feel like, man, with all that talent, they only got one chip. And I know they think that way, too. They always expect Kentucky basketball. They always expect to be in it. They are a basketball school, unapologetic basketball school. They do everything. They do everything to support the program, always have, going way back to the days of Joe B. Hall and others. And so if you don't win if you don't win multiple championships there, they're unhappy. And so,
it ain't just multiple championships. Like he's been choking quite a bit. He's choked quite a bit. I know the randomness of the NCAA tournament.
But it's been more close
to the other extreme than just
but even if
coming up short in the championship. Yeah.
But Mike, let's say you're right. But let's say he didn't choke. Let's say it's not choking, but you get to the Final Four and you lose 3 years in a row. They ain't happy with that either.
No, absolutely not.
You're getting a lot out of the talent, but Kentucky, they want multiple championships. All the stuff they put into the basketball program, one championship 12 years ago is not getting it done. So,
no, he's a really, really good coach. Really, really good coach. He'll be great for Arkansas. He's certainly, a home run, a slam dunk, a big get for them. But he has not been a good tournament coach for quite a while. All right, let's take a break. I want to talk some football with you.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters,
both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
And cool. Now that we've had a few days, the last time we did a show, we had a bomb dropped in the middle of the program when Stephon Diggs got traded. It still don't feel real, but now that we've had a couple days to process it, let's unpack that a little bit more. You know, before we were obsessed with Dynasty and before you were stalking me to pry CJ Stroud from my team, it used to be franchise mode for me and you. That was our last thing that we... hobby that we bonded over was franchise mode. And we used to have these guardrails that we would put in place. Like there were just certain things, like certain trades that we wouldn't do. Like, you know what? Computer would.
That's too easy.
It would accept this trade, but no, like I'm not, no, because I don't know about you, but we used to call it comp. We used to play park ball and somebody had a team that was just like, nah, y'all can't have all them motherfuckers on one team. Like, nah, that's comp. That's what he would say. That's cop. Like, we got to start over. Pick over. Start over. You know what I mean? It's like all the track stars on one team out here against Michael and, you know.
See, I really can't. Unfair. I can't relate to that because I generally was the last one picked. Like, the last one picked.
No, I'm not saying I was, so I'm not saying I was
so
on
I really
that team.
I don't know what
I'm saying
about.
Usually.
But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. But in Madden, we would be like, no, like, okay, even if that trade goes through, we shouldn't do that trade. Just for the sake of the sanctity and the credibility and integrity of this franchise that we're building, this particular franchise mode. But sometimes in reality, you have trades that's just like, holy shit, that actually happened. Like this actually happened where the Houston Texans got Stephon Diggs, okay? Or, like CJ Stroud will now be throwing to Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins and Tank Dell, and I don't know if you saw the video. They got together working out. It was Stephon Diggs. It was Tank Dell. It was John Metchie. Still rooting for him to come back from a second round pick out of Bama. John Metchie, C.J. Stroud, all getting together with a sketch, and you know they were having some fun together already. Not pictured Nico Collins. Not pictured Xavier Hutchinson, Iowa State rookie last year. I really like. Noah Brown got off last year. Robert Woods. I don't know who's gonna make the team at wide receiver, but the Texans could potentially rival the Packers for the best wide receiver room in the league, even if Stephon Diggs is. The Texans could potentially rival the Packers. Which part
what
is funny?
You talking about what the Packers?
Which part is funny?
The Packers? Excuse me. Look, hey, look,
you know, you know.
I need you to do this.
If you know, I know you
got
know.
Okay.
Oh no, they got a lot of potential. Talking about top to bottom, they got some young dudes.
They got some dudes. But let me tell
best
you,
best young receivers in the league.
I know you have the internet. I want you just to Google. I want you to Google Stephon Diggs in his last 4 years and what he's done. His last 4 years in football.
Wait a minute. Okay, so wait, I didn't even gotten the digs yet. I was just complimenting the Packers, and you start laughing as though I said something ridiculous.
Yeah, because they ain't got nobody like, because the Packers ain't got nobody like Stephon Diggs. So, like,
that's familiar with, that you know of.
They don't, not yet. They might be, potentially.
Okay, all right. Fine. Okay, I won't get too far off of the Packers. Sorry to derail the conversation with that remark.
Go ahead.
Professor. But Professor, what I was, even if, oh, one more thing, even if Stephon Diggs, I was saying the best room, even if Stephon Diggs is renting, because the Texans went and insured themselves of probably getting the, can't insure and probably, ensure themselves of getting the best version of Stephon Diggs by wiping out the remaining 3 years of his contract and giving him a raise this year. So he'll be a free agent after this year. Not only is he trying to win with the Texans, but you would think he would fit in and not rock the boat if he's not getting the ball, given what's at stake for him after this season. He wants to prove, nothing else, that he's still the player that you're describing. He's also wearing number one. Okay, so there's all that. So, Professor, put it to you this way. You've had since Wednesday, live on this here program, about this time last Wednesday, you've had since Wednesday to truly process this trade. I want you to grade this trade. Grade this trade for both the Texans and the Bills.
For the Texans, it's an easy A. It's an easy A. They traded out. So I don't know if they had this in mind the entire time, but they traded their first round pick before to Minnesota. So they were sitting there at pick 23. They trade pick 23 to Minnesota. They get some second round picks. They use one of those second round picks, a second round pick, to get Stephon Diggs. And you're thinking, okay, well, you know, second round pick for Diggs, not multiples, but a second round pick for Diggs because you're going to have to pay him. Oh, no, you actually don't have to pay him because Buffalo paid him. Oh, you can void the last few years in his contract, give him a $3.5 million raise, and it's all good. So that alone makes it an A. But then you got stuff coming back. Buffalo gave you, they gave you additional goodies because they wanted him out. So for Buffalo, it's a B minus.
We talked about that.
No, it's a C. It's a C plus. It's a C plus. I can't give it a. It's a C plus.
Huh?
It's just, yeah, it's just above average. As I said, last 4 years, if you look at Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs, it is one of the most lethal combinations in football. And so it's
I prefer to look at the last half of last season when it comes to Diggs and Allen.
Okay, look at the last half of last season. That could be. And of course. Didn't you see this already? Didn't I tell you what's going to happen? I told you what was going to happen. The day of the trade, and say, we're going to start hearing some stories about, well, Diggs said this.
Oh, yeah, it all comes out in the wash.
We already had
a Allen snapped at Diggs. Yeah.
After week one. You know. Yeah, okay. And more is coming. I know.
Or the Bills were tired of it. Well, Tim Graham laid it out. Yeah. He laid a lot of it out.
Yeah, more is coming. More is coming. Buffalo, I got it. I see how it goes. This is what happens when you leave.
Yeah, but
it's clear. It's so easy, though. And this is why I give it a C+. It's if you look at it through Buffalo-friendly lenses, you give it a B.
Okay.
I actually heard Todd Haley, former NFL coach Todd Haley, say it was addition by subtraction. What the?
I agree.
What?
I 100% agree. I 100% agree. And I don't have to look at it. Look,
see,
I'm not a Bills fan. That's it. This is an A. They both get A's. Everybody get an A. You're a hard grader. I've heard this about your class. You're a very hard grader. I've heard your students have come to me and they said your brother from another Michael Holly. It's a real hard grader. He's really difficult grader.
Well, I'm glad the students are coming to you, though. I'm glad they're doing that.
It's not really happening.
But I'll say, before I kick it back to you, I just want to say, before you push that button and submit that grade for the term, just keep in mind that some grades are based on personality. Okay, if you're just saying you got the personality of Stephon Diggs out of the way, sure, give that an A. But that personality came with production. And you got to look at yourself, Buffalo. You're the one who enabled him. You're the one who said, oh, the media is making it up and there's nothing to see here. And Sean McDermott made a fool of himself last summer when he's like, oh, I don't know where these stories are coming. We love Steph. Steph's my brother. Josh Allen, Steph's my brother. He'll always be my brother. You put the C on his jersey. He's been one of your captains three of the last 4 years.
I know.
And now you're telling me it's an A when you get a captain out the door.
I am.
A guy who's had 5,000 yards, over 5,000 receiving yards in the last 4 years, one of the only receivers in football to have six straight 1,000 receiving yard seasons.
Speak on it.
That's an A.
Speak on it.
Okay.
Speak on it.
Okay.
Speak on it.
If that
you know what?
If that helps
you know what?
If that helps you sleep better at night, go ahead.
I'm in a good mood. Fuck it. A+. It's an A+. Bravo to Buffalo. In fact, Buffalo got the better of this trade. Yes, addition by subtraction. But first of all, let me talk about the Texans and their A. The Texans get an A, and the only reason they don't get an A+ is because they were already going to be lethal. They were already going to be good, okay? By the way, speaking of dream teams, right? This is an amazing stat. I don't know if you saw this. According to the league, the 2024 Houston Texans are the first team in league history to add a player who had 100 catches the previous year, a player who had 1,000 rushing yards the previous year, Joe Mixon, and a player who had 10 sacks the previous year, all in the same offseason. Daniil Hunter being a 10-sack player, all in the same offseason.
Nick Caserio, so, I see you.
Never seen an offseason like this, taking advantage of that rookie contract. Give me the Texans to lose to the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. I told you, I ain't picking against nobody. I'm not picking against Kansas City. No, I'm not picking anybody over Kansas City. I told you that already. Okay. I don't give a damn if they're the Dallas, but it can't be the Texans. If they move to Dallas in 2030 or not, I don't care. Wherever Patrick Mahomes is playing, I'm picking him to come out of the AFC, if not win the Super Bowl. But I love, all jokes aside, love the Texans. Here's your A. Job well done. Here's why the Bills get an A+ for me. Because I'm at this place in my life in general, okay? I'm trying to remove drama from my life in general. I'm trying to remove distractions from my life. Anybody got time for that shit, okay? And I don't give a damn how many 1,000-yard seasons. It's always 99 problems with Stephon Diggs. It's always something. And I appreciate the conviction that it took. And we talked about this on Wednesday. I don't think we brought up the cap part of it. We talked about the extra late-round picks that the Texans received from Buffalo to facilitate this trade. So not only it wasn't just Diggs for a second. It was like, oh, here's some other stuff with Diggs to get that second. And I'm presuming that's the best deal they could get because, I mean, they kept him within the conference. Hell, I think he's on the schedule for him this year. You know how much conviction it's got to take to trade a dude and take a $31 million cap hit? That's a quarterback cap hit. They took a $31 million cap hit to get Stephon Diggs up out of here. Now, I don't proclaim to know Stephon Diggs. He for damn sure wouldn't know me for a hole in the wall. So this is not me casting aspersions on his character. I don't know the young man. What I do know is it's always something. And at a certain point, you just get tired of the bullshit. You just get sick of it. So I appreciate the conviction on the part of the Buffalo Bills to say, listen, as I said before to you in a different context, we're not playing games right now. We don't play till September. There's still time to find a receiver. We have a franchise quarterback who, down the stretch last year, when he was throwing more so to Dalton Kincaid and Khalil Shakir than Stephon Diggs.
How'd that work out? How'd that work out for him? How'd that work out? Okay.
Down the stretch under Joe Brady, the numbers look pretty good when Buffalo turned their season around from 5-5 until and won the division did. Again.
Until they lost at the crib again.
Remind me what Stephon Diggs did in the playoffs.
He dropped a deep ball.
Thank you. Okay, so you know what? We can do bad all by ourselves, say the Buffalo Bills. Okay.
He's wide open over the middle. I know we can't criticize. I'm not talking about you, but I know some people can't criticize
Josh Allen. Criticize Josh Allen.
Hey, Steph Diggs, wide open over the middle. Josh Allen doesn't throw to him. Wide open. End of the game. So, look.
All I'm saying to you is life goes on, Michael. Life goes on, and it's also too short to be dealing with drama all the time. Who knows how much stuff has not come out in the wash that we don't know. So, yes, he's a talented player. Yes, he's a productive player. But I'm good. Go be great somewhere else. I release you. Go be great somewhere else.
He will be great somewhere else.
And we will move on. There's nothing wrong with it. The relationship ran its course as most relationships do. Everything ends badly. Otherwise, it wouldn't end. I love it for Buffalo because it was a courageous move and one of conviction. Knowing that there will be people like Michael Holly saying, what are you doing? Yeah, to take a $31 million cap hit? Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely is.
Or maybe it's just bad planning.
That's how badly they want to get him out of
here. Maybe it's bad planning.
No, they could have waited. Maybe they could have waited.
I think they need to build something else. They need to build something else in Buffalo because Buffalo, we know we got Niagara Falls there. It's one of the great sites, one of the great great things to see in this country. But they also have, I don't know what we're going to call it, like a monument of excuses. I don't know what we're going to call it in Buffalo. But we got a lot of fodder for it. We got a lot of fodder. So I mentioned they lost at home in Buffalo, New York. Okay, you're supposed to have an advantage over everybody in January when you live in Buffalo. Why else the hell would you live in Buffalo? Sorry. Okay. When it's winter in Buffalo, everybody else is supposed to be more miserable than you. They're not supposed to be able to come to your stadium and beat you down and embarrass you. So that happened 2 years ago. They weren't embarrassed by Kansas City last year. They lost and weren't embarrassed. But they were embarrassed by Cincinnati at home. Steph Diggs acted a fool in that game, but he was just part of the problem. Then they lost at home this year to Kansas City. Lots of issues there. Diggs dropped a deep ball. Couldn't pull it in. But now we've got Diggs out. Now we got Leslie Frazier's gone. We got Ken Dorsey's on. He's gone. Like, what else are we going to come up with? Who else? Are we going to blame the weather? We're going to start blaming the weather in Buffalo? It's too cold here. Or the stadium's not ready. The stadium's not going to be ready until 2026. So is it the stadium? You don't have enough people.
So what you want to do? Just keep running it back? You're telling me that the team was clearly missing something. You just want to run it back? You just want to keep them because you're paying them a lot of money?
How about a little more self-awareness? How about a little bit more honesty about
I think that was exactly making. What that
maybe
was.
Maybe it's McDermott.
The self-esteem.
Maybe McDermott's the problem.
Maybe Brandon Bean may go. They may both go. They may both go next. They're running out of fall guys, to your point. But it is absolutely honest to say this ain't working anymore. This isn't working anymore.
That they've established.
And if you're going to go out, I'm going to go out my way. I'm not going to go out because Stephon Diggs is in a bad mood and wants to sub-tweet and passively aggressive tweet or have his brother tweet on his behalf or get in the quarterback's
face.
That was one of my favorites. Like it's just a lie.
That was
just
one
a
my
lie.
Favorite.
No, thank you. We don't need all of that.
That was my just, favorite. No.
I don't. You make exceptions for exceptional people, and I don't know how exceptional he is at this point in his career.
He is exceptional. He's exceptional. My brother, listen, he's very passionate. He loves me. He doesn't speak for me, though. That's great. Of course he does.
Hey, dog. I need you to go out here and put something out here for your boy. All right. One other. So the AFC East.
Oh, so good.
You know, listen, maybe you think it's a bad move for Buffalo, but it's good news for the Jets.
C+.
Or the Dolphins.
Yeah, go find Mike.
Yeah.
Mike, go find that. Just go find that receiver. Because, you know, you can go find a receiver and give you 100 catches. Go ahead, catch 100 balls. No problem.
Who said he got a receiver? Wait a minute.
Go find one in college.
I just watched Moneyball.
Who's going to connect?
Billy Bean did not find another Jason Giambi. He replaced him in the aggregate. Like, wait a minute. Ain't nobody asking you to find a 100-catch receiver. No. Maybe, without somebody chirping in his ear, maybe it's a more, like, dude, we just saw Patrick Mahomes survive without Tyreek Hill. Listen, everybody says that. Do me a favor. That's just the most recent example. Where's Travis Kelce? Maybe it's Dalton Kincaid. Who knows? Maybe he'll grow up
Buffalo's
to be that.
Buffalo's Taylor Swift.
This is what I would love to know. Find me the instance. I'm not saying this is not rhetorical, but I would really love to know this. Find me the instance, and I'll give myself a homework assignment. Find me the instance where a team moved on from a wide receiver that maybe there was some drama around him and did not live to tell about it. It's a passing league.
2006 Patriots.
Passing league. They grow on trees.
And not that it was totally analogous, but, you know, 2006 Patriots lost their top two receivers. Deion Branch contract dispute with the front office. They trade him to Seattle before the season. Tom Brady's pissed about it. And they wind up with, you know, rest in power, Rishe Caldwell, Doug Gabriel, Troy Brown. And they lose in the AFC Championship game.
Right. Yeah. But then the next year, they go get Randy Moss for a fourth-round pick.
They reloaded because they reloaded because they knew they failed Brady in 2006.
I'm not saying you don't need somebody to play receiver. I'm saying you can find, like, once upon a time they traded for Stephon Diggs, a lot more than a second round pick. They will be able to find. Okay, if that's the case, Michael, why don't you trade me Khalil Shakir? Since they ain't got nobody, just trade me Khalil Shakir. Why are you holding on to him for dear life? Yeah, exactly.
That's right. But who was that? I just want to get this straight. It was Billy Beane you referenced in Moneyball.
Yeah, I know he ain't win. Right? I know he ain't win. I just
and Brandon Beane, no relation. Brandon Beane, no relation. And let me check.
All right.
Nothing. Nothing but I keep digging in my pockets. I come up with lint, says the poet Rakim in National Poetry Month. Ain't nothing in here but lint, okay? No championships for either one of these geniuses who outdo the aggregate. Oh, I can move on, addition by subtraction, all the cliches. Good, good, good.
Go be great. Hey, listen, awesome. Go be great somewhere else.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
It's good for Houston. Yeah. Good for you. Both win-win trade. Last ball topic I want to get to before we wrap this up. Some have compared your man Drake May to Josh Allen. That he could be the next Josh Allen. That he has Josh Allen type, you know, tools and traits and whatnot. Some people, on the other hand, think that you are asking for trouble if you draft Drake May at the top of the draft. Our own Chris Sims, I believe, has him as his sixth-ranked quarterback in this class.
He does.
Merrill Hodge, I thought Merrill Hodge had smoke for Caleb Williams. Merrill Hodge said that Drake May will get you fired. He's the type of guy that gets you fired. He's all over the place. That he's erratic and all over the place. Why are you smiling? Because you told me that Drake May was the truth. And look, the Patriots, because he also might be your local quarterback. Because the Patriots, I believe, have hosted Drake May already. Jaden Daniels, I want to say, is in Foxborough today with J.J. McCarthy. Yeah. Down the road, making a top 30 visit to Foxborough. But I thought Drake May was becoming your version of, you know, Zach Wilson, who you had a crush on a couple of years ago during the draft process.
That's something in my head? Okay, here we go. All right, here we go. Oh,
okay. No, you good?
What's that on my head? What's that on my head? You got something on my head?
Nothing. Nothing. I mean,
nothing there.
Are you trying to distract?
No, these
Drake takes.
No, no, I'm not even.
Is it still Drake for you?
No, no, I wasn't trying to distract you. Seriously, and I'm laughing for a couple of reasons. One, the reason you love the draft and I love the draft. There are many reasons we both love it. We are obsessed with the draft. That's something that neither one of us really apologizes for. We're into it. We can't get enough of it. If the draft is 7 rounds, we're watching all 7. Back in the day when it was 12 rounds, we watch all 12 and just try to just eat up. Just we're draft consumers. Remember when we went out to Vegas, they had the draft out there a couple of years ago. I thought it was a great time. And I remember thinking, Vegas in the draft, why didn't somebody think of this earlier? They're made for each other. But the great thing about the draft, and this sounds contradictory, the great thing about the draft is you really don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
Right. You think about Hall of Famers. Some of the Hall of Famers, you just know they're going to be Hall of Famers. You know about Peyton Manning, but you didn't necessarily know about Joe Montana and Tom Brady. You know about Walter Payton and Jim Brown, but you didn't necessarily, and Barry Sanders, but you didn't necessarily know about somebody like Emmitt Smith, who was drafted late in the first round, like middle of the first round. There are tons of surprises, and you really can't make a living. Even if you make a living doing it, you really can't make a living saying, oh, that guy's good in college, he's going to be good in the pros. That guy's bad in college, he's never going to be good in the pros.
It's all projection.
It doesn't work like that.
It's all projection.
It's all projection. Yeah. So really what you're looking for is, if I'm running a team, really what I want to do is just go over the basics. Do they have the physical ability to play the position? That's not the be-all, end-all, but, okay, is it a quarterback? Can a quarterback throw the football? Does a quarterback have a strong arm? Does a quarterback process information quickly? All this stuff. I'm going to ask that. Still not the be-all, end-all. Then I want to find out, when I talk to you, when you talk about ball, does it inspire me? Are you enthusiastic? Are you passionate about it? Still not the be-all, end-all, but, hey, that's a start. And then after that, bring it back full circle. Depending on your religion, depending on the God you serve, for me, I will sit down after all that and say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I mean, you're just praying. You don't know. And so what's funny is that Merrill Hodge, of all people, Merrill Hodge, the draft analyst, would never have picked Merrill Hodge, the player. He would, if you told Merrill Hodge, hey, Merrill, I've got a guy, he's a 10th rounder. I don't even have 10 rounds anymore. He was a 10th round pick, Merrill Hodge was. I'm going to take a 10th round pick from Idaho. He's going to play for two Hall of Fame coaches. Two Hall of Fame coaches back to back are going to love him in Chuck Knoll and Bill Cowher. And he's going to be so popular in Pittsburgh, he's going to do his own radio show there. And then he's going to have a career in broadcasting. Merrill Hodge would be like, nah, man, that dude's too slow. He's not there. Come on, Merrill. You don't know. I mean, it sounds good, but I laugh at it. It's all entertainment. 90%.
It's 90% bullshit, but it entertains me.
But it entertains me. Come on, take Drake.
So you mentioned Montana, take
Drake.
Well, I think it depends on who takes Drake, because you mentioned Montana and Brady. 100% of them are, wait for it, circumstantial quarterbacks. So, listen, look at what Chicago's doing for Caleb Williams. Oh, I heard this weekend. I heard that two of the teams in the top three have J.J. McCarthy as their QB1. Obviously, that's not Chicago. Obviously, that's not Chicago.
Is that obvious? Is that obvious?
No, because Caleb is going to go to Chicago. So that would leave the Commanders and the Patriots. So this McCarthy thing is real. But Drake May, it's like, look, man. Hey, Chris Sims, please vote. Please, if I'm Drake May, I'm like, hey, please have me as the sixth best quarterback. Because that means that.
Why?
Kevin O'Connell or Sean Payton are drafting me. Talk about like, hey, you know, this is a guy who gets you fired. But if he goes somewhere with stability, where things don't turn over every year, where there's an offensive coach unlikely to be fired anytime soon, as opposed to a defensive coach who may have a revolving door at OC. Like, if Drake May goes to a place like Minnesota, I'll take my chances that Drake May will succeed. Like, it to me, it's about landing spot either for can't-miss prospects or prospects that people think will get you fired that are all over the place. It's really where they end up and what their circumstances are and how, where their career starts. Because I refuse to believe that all the quote-unquote busts in NFL draft history are because they couldn't play. Or because they didn't have what it took. I refuse to believe that. I refuse to believe that everybody that succeeded and all the great players, specifically at quarterback throughout NFL history, would have been great wherever they went. You got a couple of guys that transcend their circumstances. You got a couple of guys that are thermostats and not thermometers.
Yeah.
I think those are few and far between. So,
well, Mike.
I like what I've seen from Drake May, Chris Sims, Merrill Hodge. They've forgotten more football than I know. I like what I've seen from Drake May. But more than anything, I would love it for Drake May if he ends up in a place like Minnesota. New England, I don't really know. I can't say. Washington, I mean, I guess. I know Cliff Kingsbury has worked with a lot of quarterbacks of note. Dan Quinn, all right. You know, maybe this isn't Matt Ryan. Oh, well, maybe. Got some receivers in Washington. But whoever ends up in Minnesota, or for that matter with Sean Payton in Denver, those are the guys to me, along with Caleb Williams. Again, I love what Ryan Poles has done in terms of putting those receivers, and maybe there's another one coming at the ninth pick, and building up, you know, the defense and the running game, the supporting cast for Caleb Williams. He's nesting for his quarterback. But whoever goes to, after Caleb, whoever goes to Minnesota and Denver, to me, that's who's set up to succeed.
All right, let's put that chart up again with Chris Sims' tears. Okay, let's put that chart up. I'm gonna get to that in a second. Let me just say this: there's a lot in Merrill Hodge's comment. There's a lot there, and I love this about communication. People, in their analysis, in their criticism, they tell you something about themselves, and they tell you really what their agenda is. And I'm not saying that in a negative way, but when Merrill Hodge says he's the kind of guy who gets you fired. So really, what is this about? Is this about development or self-preservation? And for a lot of, and it's not just Merrill. There are a lot of people in the NFL, it's not about development for them, depending on where they are in their careers. Hey, I'm in year 3 of a 5-year contract. My owner is saying all kinds of stuff about we got to make the playoffs. And so you're not really thinking about what's best for the franchise. You're thinking about what's best for you. So what's best for you is not necessarily take the best player, it's to take the safest player. I just want to point out, Caleb Williams, I agree, class of his own. Jaden Daniels has played a bunch of football in his career. He's going to be 24 during the season. Bo Nix is 34 years old. I'm kidding, but he's old. Michael Penix is 2 years older. He's 2 years older than C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud is a Pro Bowler, got a playoff victory under his belt already, and he's 2 years younger than a guy who's going to come out in the draft. Drake May is 21 years old. He's going to be 22 during the season.
He's raw.
He's got flaws. He's got he's raw. But I would put him on the same. The only guy I would put above him, talent-wise, is number one. Mm-hmm. He's just as talented as all these other guys. He's not as experienced as them. And we'll see. Like, we'll check back in 3 years. Check back with the brother in 3 years. I guarantee you Drake May is going to be a really good pro quarterback. And so, look, if you're worried about your job, if you're worried about your job, don't take him.
In New England?
Worry about your job, don't take him. But New England, hey, but once again, probably not in New England. Why? So you got Gerard Mayo, rookie head coach. You got Bob Kraft, who's already said, hey, I think we got a good team. We got a good young team. No, you don't. But he thinks they do. Yeah, we got a good young team. I want to make the playoffs. He said that. Man, I hope we don't struggle. They were 4-13 last year, Mike. Like, Mike, they averaged 13 points a game. He said, I hope we don't struggle. But
it ain't his job to be realistic. It's his job. You got to sell tickets. You got to keep the people. You got to sell hope.
But I need you to be a little realistic. I need you to be a little realistic when it comes to my job evaluation. You hold the keys for me. And then you got a guy in Elliott Wolf who is a temp employee who's not technically their GM. And so these guys are not making a decision based on development. It's self-preservation. I'd like to do the league in tiers. I'll take Chris Sims' tiers idea. Hey, there's a tiers of teams who are thinking about development. And then there are tiers who are thinking about self-preservation. The Pittsburgh Steelers, development. Right now, the New England Patriots, self-preservation. So I hope he goes somewhere else too. Take Drake. Somebody, take Drake. He's good.
All right, man. Well, we got to go. This was fun as always. See you Wednesday, brother. Appreciate you.
All right, bro.
Hopefully you're right. Hopefully we get a great game tonight. And lots to talk about Wednesday. Last week of the regular season in the NBA. I'm sure something else will pop off in the league, in the NFL. And hopefully a great college basketball game tonight to wrap up the NCAA tournament. Appreciate you, brother. I'll talk to you later.
Appreciate you.
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.